Okay. Morning, everyone. Welcome to the beginning of Shas again. For the 13th time now, we're about to go through the Shas. This won't be the 13th time for me. The first daf that was given, the daf Yomi cycle, was September the 11th of 1923. That's the first time that this was given. And so now, just on a simple day-by-day basis, we're now the daf Yomi has finished Shas a total of 12 times, and we begin now the 13th cycle. I know it's an exciting day. I know everyone's looking forward. I know that because when we davened this morning, we didn't say Tachanun. So clearly, the world at large is excited about the fact that we're starting the Daf Hayomi today, and so therefore, Tachanun was removed from davening. Also happened to be Tu Ba'av, but I'm sure that's incidental. I'm sure that's not really the main issue. Okay, Masechta Brachos, here we go. Nine Prakim of Masechta Brachos. Let's just break up the Masechta so that we know what we're looking at. Before we get involved in some of the details. The first three prakim of the Masechta deal with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. We know that there's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema for a man to say Kriya Shema twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening, and we'll talk about times later on, but there's a mitzvah of Shema. So the first three prakim of the Masechta dedicate itself to the topic of Kriya Shema. The next prakim after that, prakim 4 and 5, deal with the mitzvah of tefillah, Shmona Esrei. So we have a mitzvah to daven Shmona Esrei three times a day. So the Gemara and prakim 4, 5, and 6 deal with the mitzvah of tefillah. And then prakim 6, 7, 8, and 9 deal with the mitzvah of brachas. Okay, sixth parak talks about bracha rishona. Seventh parak talks about the bracha achrona, referring to benching, and then 8 and 9 talk about brachas in general. Okay, so basically, if we can basically break up the Masechta into thirds. A third of it is Shema, a third of it is Tefillah, and a third of it is brachos. It gets the name, the Masechta in total gets the name brachos, but now as we've just broken up the Masechta, you realize that brachos is really just a fraction of the Masechta, and in terms of prakim, even not even a minority of the Masechta. Okay, why are we starting with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? So the Vilna Gaon writes that the Shas begins with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema because it's the first mitzvah that a person is obligated to do every single morning. You wake up in the morning, and the first mitzvah opportunity you have is Shema. In other words, there are a lot of other mitzvahs that a person can do every day, but incumbent upon every man when he wakes up is the mitzvah of Shema. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi inserted it as the first topic of discussion within Shas. Additional to that, also quoted, the Riaz is quoted by saying that we talk about Shema, it's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. It's a theme that we're going to see time and again, that by Shema we are accepting upon ourselves Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, and one of the big themes of Shema, in fact it's such a big theme of Shema that on the davening on Rosh Hashanah, when we talk about Malchus, when we accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu as our Melech, so we end off with the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So it's really, it's Malchus Hashem, it's accepting Kadosh Baruch Hu's dominion. So it's, and by that, what we really mean is it's Yira. It's Yiras Hashem. We start to fear Kadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. That if you want the beginning of Chachma, you want to attain wisdom, so Yiras Hashem, so you develop a healthy fear of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as we're about to start Shas now, one more time, hopefully one of many more times. So as we start Shema now, Brachas now, and we start about the mitzvahs of Kriya Shema and Yiras Hashem, so Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem. So really it will hopefully be the beginning of Chachma for all of us. Let's get underway. The Mishnah starts off with Me'emas HaKarnas HaShema Ba'arvin. So we talk about Shema at Ma'ariv. The Gemara is going to ask the question, why start at night? We'll come to that in just a little bit. Mishah HaKarnim Nechnasam Lecho B'Chumasam Ad Sof HaShema Rishon Adiv Rabbi Eliezer. The first opinion we're introduced to is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the time that you say Shema begins when the Kohanim go and eat their truma at night until Ashmur HaRishon, until the first watch. Let's explain both of these points. The first, first of all, as Rashi points out, there's a general guide in terms of when to determine the right time for saying Shema. Okay, what is the basic guideline? We look at the pasuk in Shema. The pasuk in Shema basically steers us. It says, "B'shachbecha uvkumecha." B'shachbecha means when I go lie down. Uvkumecha means when I get back up. So, in other words, there are two basic points in the day when I'm to say the Shema. V'shach b'cha, when I go lie down at night. So what exactly does that mean? So as we're going to see over the course of today's daf, the subject to a major debate amongst the Tanaim in terms of when exactly that point of Shechiva is, when that time for lying down is. And when we say lying down, we mean specifically the time that we're physically going to go lie down? Or does it mean b'shach b'cha over the duration of when we go lie down? That also will seem to be a machlokus amongst the Tanaim in terms of what point of shach b'cha we're talking about. Okay? So that's a general guideline in terms of when is the right time to say Shema at night. And now we first introduce ourselves to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says basically you have a block of time from the time the Kohanim eat Truma until the Yashmer Rishona. Now, Kohanim eat Truma at night. So this we know very well. We just finished Masechta Nida. We talked about Tumah Tahara at length, so we're pretty familiar. Every time a person becomes Tameh and comes into contact with an Avatumah, so he needs a Tahara process. A Tahara process requires two things. Number one, he tovels in the mikvah towards the evening, and then before it gets night, and then comes nightfall, and now he's in a state of total Tahara, where he can eat now Truma, and he's totally Tahara. Now, as we've discussed many times, sometimes the Tahara process is not totally over, meaning there's one more thing that needs to be done the next day, and that's what's called bringing karbanos. Right? From the night until the next morning, he's what's referred to as a mechusa kapara. Mechusa kapara has to bring his karbanos the next day. So for example, a zavar, a zava, a yoledes, a mitzora. So they are the people that need to bring a karban the day after they toveled in the mitzvah. So what our Mishnah is teaching us is the following, that if a Kohen is Tameh, and let's even talk about a Kohen who's a Zav, so that means that he needs to count his Shiv Nekiyim, and then on the seventh day he tovels in the Mikvah, so that night he can already start eating Truma. Okay? Next morning he has to bring his Karbanos, but fine. And it's true, until he brings his Karbanos, he's not allowed to go into the base of Mikdash, fine. But that night he can start eating Truma. So Rabbi Eliezer says, when you see the Kohanim going and eating their Truma, now you know it's okay to say Shema. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, meaning the two have really nothing to do with one another, right? Eating Truma, saying Shema. Okay, so why are we using that as a guideline? So stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that question later on. And that is the beginning of when you could say Shema at night, and it goes till when? Ashmor Rishona. The Gemara later on will talk about how the nights divide into watches. We're really talking here about spiritual watches of the evening. Well, I'll explain that better tomorrow in the daf. But in the meantime, however, for now, so the night's broken up into watches. So three watches, four watches. It's a machlokas. We'll get to later on. The Ashmor Rishona, the first watch in the evening, so is the last time that you could say Shema according to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, good. That is position number one of the Mishnah. Position number two of the Mishnah, V'chacham amomrim ad chatzos, you have until midnight. Rabbi Gamliel omer ad she'aleh amod ha'shachar, Rabbi Gamliel says until you have until dawn. So that means, according to Rabbi Gamliel, you have the entire night. Gemara tells us a story. The Mishnah tells us a story. Ma'isav ben banav umi beis hamishnah. So the sons were coming in from the beis hamishnah from a simcha, from a chasna. Amr lo lo karina sashma. And it was really late at night, right close to morning. And they said to their father, "We didn't say the Shema." Amar lahem im lo alam udashach chayev matam likros. Well, as long as it's not dawn yet, you're obligated to say Shema. V'lo zubavan amru. And Rabbi Gamliel says, "And my sons, let me tell you a little secret. Kol mash amru chachamim ad chatzos mitzvah samachi alam udashach. Look, it's true that chachamim say that sometimes there's a mitzvah only up until midnight, but really that's gzeira derabanan. Really, you have the entire night to say it. And that's not true for Shema, that's true for all mitzvahs that are done at night. So for example, Hector Chalav and Ve'evar mitzvah samachi alam adashachar. So the Gemara here quotes a Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah quotes a Mishnah in Megillah. So Hector Chalav and the burning of the fats. All karbanos have to be offered during the day. The time for every karban and the avod of a karban during the day. But after the karban is shechted, when do you have to burn the limbs? You don't have to burn them during the day. In fact, typically it was done during the night. So the mitzvah of Hector Chalavim, the burning of the fats of a karban, was done over the course of the night. And the Mishnah Megillah says, mitzvah sam, ad she'ala amud hashachar, you really have the entire night to burn the fats of a karban. V'chol ha'nechal miyom echad mitzvah sam ad she'ala amud hashachar. And there are karbanos where you are given one night and the following evening in order to eat that karban. So for example, achatas, an asham, a carbon toda. So these are carbonos where you have one day and the night after that in order to eat the carbon. And the truth of the matter is you have all night. So really, for any mitzvah that occurs over the course of the night, you have the entire night. But imkein lama amru chachamim ad chatzos kedal harchik adam min havera. But then the chachamim said that even though realistically you have all night, but along comes gzeira derabanan asu siyag l'torah, and the rabbi said, really we're going to only give you until midnight because we're afraid that if you don't say it by midnight, for fallen, you're not going to say it at all. So say it by midnight so that way you can get it all in. Good. That is the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, really, we are now have either two or three opinions. I'm not really sure how to organize it, but in terms of when is the right time to say Shema at night? When is the Zman for Shema? Rabbi Elazar's opinion says that it starts from the time that the Kohanim eat their Truma, which is Seisa Kochavim, which is nightfall, until the Ashmur Rishona, a third into the night, a fourth into the night. And then you have the opinion of the Chachamim that you can only say it up until midnight. And then you have the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel that says that really you have the whole night. But then he acknowledges that that really midrabanan you only have until midnight. But if you go past midnight, you still have that obligation to say Shema. In terms of our Mishnah, in terms of the Haskalah, the beginning of the Zman, seems like there's no debate in our Mishnah. Meaning it seems like everyone's in agreement that Seisa Chochavim is the right time to say it. In terms of the Sof Zman, so now we have various opinions in the Mishnah. Good. Rashi and Tosfos and all the Rishonim deal with a following issue. We say Shema early. Now, I'm not talking about we here in Boca Raton, although you could say that, but when I say we in the modern sense, I mean going back to the time of the Rishonim, and it could be that we're going back even earlier. Meaning what they used to be back the minhag back in the good old days. They would go to shul in the early evening, meaning it was certainly not night. As the day was coming to an end, it was still light outside. Remember, no electricity, right? They would assemble in shul, they would say mincha, they would say ma'ariv, and it was not nightfall. And then they would go home. So the Rishonim are bothered by a very simple question: how are we saying Shema early? Right? If the mitzvah to say Shema begins only at Seis HaKochavim, so how are we saying Shema early? Very simple question. So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi already addresses this. And Rashi quotes a Gemara Yerushalmi. Rashi is found after the lines become narrow. We're going to go down another four more lines from there. Im Kain, beginning of the line of Rashi. Rashi writes, Lama Korin Osa Beveis HaKnesses Kedei La'amod B'Tfila Mitoch Divrei Torah. So the reason why we say it in Beis HaKnesses, now when he says Beis HaKnesses, that means we're saying it early. We're saying it in shul. And again, they didn't go to shul at night. They went late in the day, but it was still light outside. So Rashi says the reason why we do that is so Kedei La'amod B'Tfila Mitoch Divrei Torah. Because when we're davening, we want davening to come right after we say Torah. Okay? We don't want to just simply daven in of itself, meaning Ma'ariv. We're talking now about Ma'ariv. So Ma'ariv, what can we do? So in theory, we could just simply say Shemon Esrei. Meaning, okay, good, we have an obligation to daven Ma'ariv. So we'll just simply say our Shemon Esrei. But just to say Shemon Esrei without any Torah beforehand, it's just not appropriate. So therefore, we say the Shema right beforehand. That is Rashi's answer to the question. Now listen carefully, because a lot of interesting things come out of this Rashi. Now the Hakitanya Bibraisa Babrachas Yerushalmi, and by the way, Rashi says this is a Gemara Yerushalmi. Meaning what Rashi just quoted to us is not original, it's not original thought. Rashi says this is part of the Gemara Yerushalmi. Ulefichach. Now Rashi writes like this. So realize what Rashi now is saying. The Shema that we say early. Now again, I'm not talking about us in Boca Raton, or for that matter, many other communities. That we operate in a slightly different schedule than they did, but we also have electricity. Okay. But back in the good old days, when they daven in shul early, before nightfall, probably even before sunset. Okay, probably. How did they justify that? So Rashi says like this. Really, it's Ma'ariv. Really, it's just Shemona Esrei. They say Shema beforehand? Yeah, because every time you daven, you want to say Torah before Shema. So according to Rashi, that Shema that he said before Shemona Esrei, that wasn't really Shema. It was the words of Shema. It was the three paragraphs of Shema, but that wasn't really Shema. And Rashi goes on to write, Ulaficha chova aleinu lekrosa mishitech shach. So therefore Rashi says, when we come home at night, and now, did we say Shema yet? The answer is no. We haven't said Shema yet. Meaning, we haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Shema yet. Uvikriyas parsha vishona shadam kore al mitasa yatsa. Now, and then Rashi said something even more amazing. And then we get home at night, and what do? We go to bed. Now, before to bed, there's Kriya Shema Lamita. Before going to bed, so a person says Kriya Shema. That's based on the Gemara, which we're going to see a little bit later on in our Masechta. Okay? Now, for Kriya Shema Lamita, do we say all three paragraphs of Shema? No, the minhag is to say only the first paragraph of Shema. Rashi says, good, you fulfilled your obligation. So by saying Kriya Shema Lamita, you have fulfilled your obligation of saying the Shema. Adkan Divrei Rashi, that's Rashi's position. So, Tosfos, on the other side of the Amud, cannot fathom Rashi. Tosfos asks four questions on Rashi. I will go through them outside. Tosfos asks, number one, according to Rashi, how did you fulfill the mitzvah of Shema with Kriya Shema Lamita? The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is to say three paragraphs. Kriya Shema Lamita is only one paragraph. So how'd you fulfill the mitzvah? That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, Tosfos asks, what happened to the brachas of Kriya Shema? When you say them at night, right before you go to bed, you're only saying Shema. We know in Ma'ariv, Shema comes with brachos before and brachos after. And at Ma'ariv, there are two brachos before and two brachos afterwards. You're going to say the Shema without the brachos? That's question number two, Tosfos asks on Rashi. And additional, the Kriya Shema Lamita, first of all, why do we say that? So again, we're going to see what the Gemara is going to talk about later on. We say because of Amazikin, because it provides us extra protection before we go to bed at night. And the Gemara later on will say, not everyone has to say Kriya Shema Lamita. Tam Chacham doesn't have to say Kriya Shema Lamita. Okay? In other words, he doesn't need that extra protection. So in other words, the Shema right before you go to bed, that's not a Shema to fulfill a mitzvah. That's a Shema for extra protection. So you're going to use that Shema, which isn't even required by everyone to say. You're going to use that Shema to fulfill your mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Hard to imagine. And finally, Tosfos asks the fourth question, which is as follows. We also will learn later on in the Masechta, there's a mitzvah of being somech geula l'tfila, which means that right before you daven, you have to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We do that in the morning, and we do that in the evening. In the morning, it's called the bracha right before Shmona Esrei, Emes V'Yatziv. In the evening, it's the bracha right before Shmona Esrei. It's called Emes V'Emuna. In both of those paragraphs, we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and there's a requirement to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim right before Yadavin. So it comes out now that according to Rashi, the Shema that you said before Ma'ariv wasn't really Shema. And the brachas that you said also, whatever, the brachas. But in other words, it wasn't really part of Shema. So in other words, you haven't really successfully fulfilled the idea of being somech geula l'tfila. And that's a requirement. Now, Tosfos does acknowledge, and we'll see this later on in the Masechta, it is subject to a debate. In the morning, everyone agrees that you have to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim right before davening. In the evening, not everyone agrees. Okay, but Tosfos says, but we go like the position that you need to do geula l'tfila right at night. So Tosfos cannot fathom that the Shema that we're saying at Ma'ariv, even though we're davening Ma'ariv early, is not the real Shema. He can't fathom like Rashi says. Tosfos therefore brings in the position of Rabbeinu Tam and the position of the Ri, that the Shema that we say early is the real Shema. Now how does that work? The obvious question is, if it's before Tzeis HaKochavim, how can you call that the real Shema? So there are a couple ways to say it. I don't want to get too involved right now. This is a daf yom. We have to finish the daf today. But basically, Rabbeinu Tam says, well, you know you're allowed to daven early, since you're allowed to daven early, so you could say Shema early as well, at least according to the position of Yehuda. Okay. To make a long story short, Tosfos does not like Rabbeinu Tam because you are burning the candle at both wicks, tarte de sasre. I'm not going to explain that idea right now. We'll talk about that idea later on. But anyway, he doesn't like it. The Ri says that we daven Shema early, and that is the real Shema, that is the mitzvah of Shema. What about the fact that our Mishnah says that you have to say Shema after Tzeis HaKochavim? So we're going to learn later on this morning, not everyone agrees with that Mishnah. There are positions that say that you could say Shema even earlier, and we side, says the Ri, with those positions that are not expressed in the Mishnah. It's difficult because usually if I have various opinions and it's a Mishnah against the Braisa, usually we go with the Mishnah over the Braisa. So the defense of the Reed that we don't follow our Mishnah, we follow the Braisa that we're going to see later on this morning, that's a difficult position to accept, but that's what the Reed says, and that is how he justifies our saying Shema early. Okay, so again, the challenge of the Rishonim is how do we say Shema early when the Mishnah says that you have to say it after Tzeis HaKochavim? So the first, the opinion of Rashi, which is a very interesting position, that's not the real Shema. That's just Shema before Shmoneh Esrei, because we always want to say Torah before the Shmoneh Esrei, but that's not the real Shema. The real Shema comes on later on with Kriya Shema Lamita. And the other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam and the Reed, that says no, that the Shema that we say early is in fact the real Shema. How do we justify that? Okay, maybe because we don't follow like our Mishnah. All right. One other point I want to cover before we move on to the Gemara, and that's the following. Our Mishnah says that anytime you have a mitzvah at night, so really you got to finish it by midnight. The Chachamim, in order to safeguard and to protect us from getting, it's getting late, we're tired, we may end up going to bed. So you know what? If there's a mitzvah to be done at night, do it before Chatzos. So says the Mishnah. And the Mishnah gives a whole assortment of examples, including Shema, including, what other example does the Mishnah give? Hector Chalav and the burning of the fats. Again, to turn to another interesting Rashi on this Mishnah, Rashi says, as far as Hector Chalav and the burning of the fats are concerned, Rashi says, you know, the truth of the matter is you have all night. You have all night to burn the fats. Now, that's funny, because if you go back to our Mishnah, and you read the Mishnah again, the Mishnah does say, the Mishnah did give another example. Sorry, the Mishnah gave one other example that was eating your karbanos that are for one day and the following night. Meaning that you really should finish the karban by midnight and not go the whole night. So Rashi says when it comes to Hector Chalavim, you really have all night for that. Not even on a derabbanan level do you have to stop at midnight. Now it is an interesting Rashi. Rashi, by the way, if you want to see it inside, it's the last Rashi of the Mishnah. Take a look at it inside. It is an interesting Rashi because when you go back to the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah does say that, v'lo zu bilvad amru ela kol masha amru chachamim ad chatzos mitzvasan achi ala amur ha-shachar. It sounds like from the Mishnah that really, every time that you have an all-night mitzvah, you really need to stop at midnight. Rashi says that's not true for Hector Chalavim. Now, why does Rashi say that? Rashi says that for a simple reason. Because the Mishnah Megillah says you have all night for Hector Chalavim. So, even though our Mishnah sounds like you really need to stop at midnight for every night mitzvah, Rashi says that's true except for Hector Chalavim. Now, fine. What's behind the Rashi? Perhaps, my suggestion, take it or leave it, perhaps what's behind Rashi over there is the following. Why do we have to stop at midnight? It's really Gzeirat D'Rabbanan. It's a rabbinical decree. Okay. Generally speaking, what do we say about mitzvahs in the Beis HaMikdash? Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. That in the Beis HaMikdash there are no rabbinical decrees. Now, we know, we've covered many times where there are rabbinical decrees even in the Beis HaMikdash. You'll see Erevin, you'll see the 10th parak of Erevin. The Gemara there talks at length about a number of rabbinical decrees. So that's not that's a rule, but it's not a universal. But it's still a rule. So perhaps from Rashi's perspective, look, we're talking about the burning of the fats in the Beis HaMikdash, so there you don't have that midnight gzera where you have to stop at midnight, but really you have the entire night. But for the mitzvah of Shema, and even for the mitzvah of eating karbanos, you see, eating karbanos, by the way, that's not for the Kohanim, that could be for you and me. If it's a carbon toda, we're going to be eating that carbon. So there, the rabbis put a safeguard in, you know what? You really should finish by midnight. Okay, but in terms of Hector Chalavim may be fundamentally different because it's a mitzvah for specifically the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, just as an interesting parenthetical note, the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. The Rambam says that every mitzvah, including Hector Chalavim, you really have lechatchila, you have up until Chatzos. Okay. Well, that's one. In other words, that's for sure why they davened early. They davened early because they got together in shul and they couldn't wait till night and they couldn't walk home in the dark. That's why they davened early. Good. So, but the next thing you have to discuss is, well, how are they then fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema? Right. That becomes the issue. Let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara, now we begin with Tana. What's the Mishnah bouncing off of? Meaning, I know it's the first Mishnah in Shas, right? Good. But in other words, why Shema become the discussion? And in other words, it's obviously, our Mishnah is like the middle of a sentence. And oh, by the way, when is the time that you start Shema? Like what? Where's the beginning of the sentence of the Mishnah? Like, where are we talking about Shema? V'sum, I shnat etani ba'arvitz b'reisha, l'sne shachiz b'reisha. And the Gemara says, another question is, why are we starting at night? Why don't we start about the morning? Right? I know, you have an answer ready. Just, the Gemara is going to have that answer. Just wait 1 second. So, Tana Krakai. So, the first thing you need to know is like this. You start with the Chumash, meaning the Mishnah really is the second half of the Chumash. Right? Very basic point. Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebapeh. That first you have the written word, and then you have Torah Shebapeh. So first you know your Torah Shebichsav, you know your Pesukim. Okay, that's an assumption, I know. But first you know your Pesukim, and then you go through Torah Shebapeh. So once you know that there's a requirement of B'shach B'chav Kamecha, right, Dechsev, the Gemara quotes, B'shach B'chav Kamecha, V'hachi Ketani, Zman Kriya Shema Deshchiv, Emas, Mishah Shekvanim, Nechnasim L'chol B'chum Asan. And that's what our Mishnah is going off of. Meaning, once you know that there's a requirement to say Shema, because you read the Torah, and the Torah says B'shach B'cha when you go lie down, now you need the Torah Shabbat Ped to tell you, well, when is that? When do we go lie down? What exactly is that time frame? Good. Torah Shabbat Chav, Torah Shabbat Ped. V'yibay Zemi Alev Mibriyasu Sha'olam, and the other answer, which probably everybody here was guessing. But this only answers the second question, though. Meaning, why is it that we start at night, not during the day? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, starts with night, ends with day. Now it's interesting, it's such a good answer, such a basic answer. What did the Moksha think? When they asked the question, why start at night, why would you think that you have started during the day? Perhaps what he was thinking is that we know in the Beis HaMikdash, by the Avodah, in the world of Avodah, everything starts with a day. Meaning, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's almost like an inverse of Brias HaOlam. Brias HaOlam, starting with night and with day. In the Beis HaMikdash, you start with day and with night. You offer carbon during the day. When do you burn it? The night following. We have an opportunity to eat a carbon. When does the mitzvah start? During the day. When do you finish? Usually the night after. Right? May go to the next day as well. But in other words, in the Beis HaMikdash, you start with day and you end with night. So maybe that was a makshav thinking that you start with day, like in the Beis Hamikdash. Ihai chisefa diktani b'shach mevarach shem lefanav v'achar la'achareha ve'erev mevarach shem lefanav v'shem la'achareha lisnei darva b'reishay. So the Gemara now wants to know, okay, so let me ask you a simple question. Later on in the Mishnayos, we're going to talk about the brachos of Shema. We start first with the brachos of the Shema during the day, and then we finish up with the brachos of Shema at night. The order should have been reversed. So the Gemara says like this: Tana pasach ba'arvis, ve'ahad de tani b'shachris, ad de kai b'shachris, parish mila de shachris, ve'ahad de parish mila de arvis. Look, the Mishnah works in the following organized fashion: we start with the mitzvah of Shema. When do you say Shema? In Mariv, we start Shema here. In Shachris, we start Shema here. Now we're talking about the Shema of Shachris. So let's now finish up by discussing the brachos of Shema for Shachris, and then we'll go back to discuss the brachos of Shema of Mariv. When do Kohanim eat their truma? Tzeisa kochavim, nightfall. As I explained back in the Mishnah, when a Kohen is tame, he tovels in the mikvah, waits until nightfall, and now he's allowed to eat truma. Listen, mishat tzeisa kochavim. That's the point of our Mishnah. Why doesn't our Mishnah make it simple? Why doesn't our Mishnah just simply say, You know when the time for Shema starts? Nightfall. Because that's what our Mishnah is saying, but why in the circuitous route of that's when the Kohanim eat their Truma? Milsa Agavorche Kamashmalan Kohanim Eimas Ka'achli B'Truma Mishat Seitzer Kochavim. Now, our Mishnah is treating us to a separate halacha. Meaning, via our Mishnah and Brachos, we get to learn that the Kohanim are entitled to eat Truma at Seitzer Kochavim. What might you have thought? Hakamash Malan de Kapar Loma Akve. I might have thought the following. If there's a situation where the Kohen still needs to bring a carbon, like I described back in the Mishnah, where let's say the Kohen was a Zav, or the Bas Kohen was a Zava, or he was a Mitzora. And we know that even after he tovels in the mikvah, and even after nightfall, there's still one more process that he needs to go in order to receive a full Tahara, which is Karbanos the next day. I might have thought that the eating of the Truma has to be delayed and postponed until he brings the Karbanos of the next day. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, by way of bonus, is telling us that's not true. Kohanim can eat the Truma even at nightfall. Kidditanya. And the Gemara over here quotes, Abraisa Uva HaShemesh V'Taher. The Torah says, Uva HaShemesh. Now, Uva can mean one of two things. Va can mean he's coming. Uva can mean he's going. Now, when the Torah says, Uva HaShemesh, what does that mean? The sun's coming or the sun's going? It's ambiguous. And then the Torah says, V'Taher, and our Kohen's going to become Tahor so that he's allowed to eat Truma. Now, be a chimsha makva melachol b'truma, vein kaparosa makva melachol b'truma. So, our first understanding of the pasuk is that be a shemesh means sunset. V'taher means automatically. That's what the pasuk means. And so, once the sun sets, and once now, and by the way, he already told them in the mikvah during the day, and once the sun sets, so now he can eat his truma. Umi mai dahai uva shemesh b'yasa shemesh v'hai v'tar v'tar yuma. Dilma, the Gemara makes the following proposal. We're now on Amud Beis. Bias orohu umai v'taher taher gavra. Maybe bia means bias oro. Not the going of the sun, but the coming of the sun. Maybe what the Torah is describing for our Kohen to be able to eat his truma is the sun rise, not on the last day of his tahara, but on the day after that. And v'taher means, and he has to bring his karbanos. Meaning, taher doesn't mean automatically he just simply becomes tahor. It means the sun rises the next day. If it's a mitzvah, we're now talking about the eighth day. And then, v'taher, in order to become tahor, he needs to bring karbanos. So, Amar Barav Shila Imken Lemakra V'yitaher. If that's correct, if that's accurate, the Torah would have described it v'yitaher. Rashi explains v'yitaher is more of a lashon sivui. He needs to do this. My v'taher taryuma. The word taher means it happens automatically. Well, on the eighth day, the tahara doesn't happen automatically. He needs to bring his karbanos. So when we're saying v'taher, it happens automatically. When does that occur? The night prior, meaning on the seventh day after having toveled in the mikvah and after having experienced Tahor of Shemesh, now v'taher, that's the pshat in the pasuk. And in fact, we have an expression, Erev Shimsha, then the sun sets, Itke Yome, the day has passed. Meaning, and that's the pshat behind the pasuk, Uva HaShemesh. Now, Bima Rava, interesting now, our Gemara Bavli says that, you know, they had the same exact discussion in Eretz Yisrael. Hadar Rava Bar Rav Shila Lo Shmi Elohu, and they didn't know this last point of Rava Bar Rav Shila. Ubai Lemi Baye, and they asked the following question. Hayu Vashemesh Bias Shimshahu, Umay Vitar Ter Yumahu, O Dilma Bias Arahu, Umay Vitar Ta Gavrahu. So they wanted to know, what does the Torah mean when it says, Uva HaShemesh V'Taher? When is the Kohen allowed to eat his Truma? And then the Gemara says, and then we have a Braisa. Now we have not seen this Braisa yet. We will see this Braisa a little bit later this morning. That when our Mishnah says that the Kohanim go ahead and eat their Truma when it's night, so that is code for Tzeitza Kochavim, that's nightfall. So in other words, it's the Braisa that explains the Halach of Truma. When is the Kohen allowed to eat his Truma? At nightfall. How do we know this? Based on the fact that when the Mishnah talks about when is your first opportunity to reach Shema at night, when the Kohanim eat their Truma. Okay, good. So it's the Mishnah that tells us the Halacha about, and the Halacha and the correct interpretation of the Torah of Uva HaShemesh V'Taher. Good. The Gemara continues, Amar Mar Mishash HaKohanim Nechnasim L'Achol Mitruma Sam V'Rimenu. So the Gemara now is going to quote the following. So now, you got to stay with me. Meaning, this next little bit of Gemara, from here until the bottom of the Amud, we're going to treat ourselves to three braisas and over a half a dozen more opinions in terms of when is the right time, when is that window of opportunity to say Shema at night. So far what we have is pretty straightforward. We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the first chance you have it says Kochavim. Then Rashi and Tosfos deal with the fact that we say Shema early, but okay, that's a more modern phenomenon, quote unquote. And then when's the last time that you have to say it? So in our Mishnah, so we have, I would say, two opinions. Rabbi Eliezer says a Shmur Rishona, and then the Chachamim / Roman Gimel say that you have all night, but Midrabanan, you need to stop at midnight. You need to have said it by midnight. Okay, that's so far what we have in our Mishnah. Now, from this point forward, we're going to have Braisa, and the Braisa is going to quote a lot of various opinions. Okay, it'd be good to chart it all. I'm going to go through it quickly right now, but just see, you got in other words, it's a long time to focus, it's an hour every day, but here you need even extra focus. Amar Mar. Mishasha Kohanim Nechnasam Lecha B'Trumasan. So we first quote our Mishnah. The first opportunity to say Shema is nightfall. Say Sekochav, Vriminu. Meimas Akarin Sashma Barvi Mishahani Nechnas Lecha Pito B'Melech. Asha Sha'omed Li Pater Mitoch Se'udaso. So the window of opportunity Shema follows the eating pattern of the poor person. Now the poor person eats his bread at night. Now, it helped me better if I knew better the behavior of the Ani being described here in this Braisa. I don't exactly know when that is, when the Ani eats his bread at night. And you'll see that not only do I not know, but the Gemara is not too sure itself. But let's just say for simplicity's sake, it comes at a point in the evening that the poor person eats his bread. And when is the last time that you have? B'shasha omed li pater mitoch se'udaso, when he finishes his bread. Now, it's interesting because we're looking for that period of Bishach Becha, when people go lie down. So now, basically, it's the eating pattern of the Ani that's going to determine Bishach Becha. Okay? It's curious. It's difficult to understand. Certainly, he's not going to bed at that point in time, meaning he's eating at that point in time. And presumably, he eats at a later point in time. He is a poor person, so that probably means he has to scrounge for food. So, admittedly, so he's eating at a later point in time, but, okay, that sets the time frame, the window, of when we say Shema. It's curious. Now, Seif Avada Pagina Masnisa, okay, but the point is like this. This opinion we just quoted. Now, look, it gives us a very short window. Basically, the meal of the Ani. When he starts, that's the opening time for Shema. When he finishes, that's the closing time for Shema. Look. And our Mishnah goes into the night, either the first Ashmura, or until midnight, or until Amud HaShachar. Our Mishnah certainly goes well into the night. This Braisa that we just quoted, in the name of, who is it? It's a Braisa, sorry. Anonymous Braisa. So, it gives us a much smaller window, and it does not go well into the night. Once the Ani has finished his meal, that's it. Sof Shema is over. Sof Zman Shema is over. Seifa Vaday Pligi Amasnisa. Now, that end point that we just quoted, of when the Ani finishes his meal, that clearly goes against our Mishnah. Fine. It's a Braisa against the Mishnah. Reisha Milema Pligi Amasnisa. But what about the first part of that Braisa? Is that going against our Mishnah? So, lo. Ani V'Kohen Chashiru. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe what we could suggest is that when the Ani goes and eats his meal, is Tzeitza Kochavim, as described in our Mishnah. So that the Ani and the Kohen are the same shear. Uriminu. So the Gemara says, and on that we're going to challenge. Meimasai Matzkalin Kros Kriyashma Ba'arvis. And here we go. Here's another Braisa. This is a Tosefta. Mishash Bnei Adam Nechnasim Lechol Pito Ba'arvish Abbasas Div Rabbi Meir. So first we have Rabbi Meir, when a person goes and eats his bread on Erev Shabbos. Now, when are we Mikadish Shabbos? When do we sanctify the Shabbos? So before it gets dark, right? In other words, already by Bein HaShemashos, it possibly may be Shabbos. So this is now describing a time before it gets dark. And the Chachamim say you have until night. I'm sorry, not you have till. It begins, the first opportunity to say Shema is Seitz HaKochavim. And by the way, this is the Braisa that the Gemara was alluding to earlier on the daf when it says, and the Braisa says that the Kohanim eat the Truma when? And the Gemara points out that, look, there's nowhere explicitly in the Torah that says that this is so, but there's a Zech L'Davar, there's a Remes. The Anachna, also we're about to quote a pasuk in Nehemiah. The pasuk in Nehemiah talks about the work entailed in terms of building the second Beis HaMikdash. The Anachna Osim Bemlacha, the Chitzim Machzikim Baramachim, Me Alosa Shachar Atzeisa Kochavim. We worked from Alosa Shachar until Tzeisa Kochavim, and there were guards over there. The Omer Vayulanu Alayla Mishmar, and there were guards that night as well. Vayom Malachim, we worked during over the course of the day. Okay, so they worked over the day to build the second base of Mikdash, guards at night, because we still had enemies in Eretz Yisrael, so we needed guards at night. Now, Maiva Omer, now what are we getting from the second pasuk? V'chitem ha-mechiar v'sham shalei lohu, v'hine de-mechashchem ektame u-maktame. It could be that already, by the moment that the sun starts setting, it could be that it's already night, and it could be that, as far as the workers are concerned, they worked, they got up early to go to work, they went to bed late. But in other words, it doesn't really define what day versus night is. Tashma v'ayalanu alayla mishmar v'ayom alacha. That's when the next pasuk is telling us that no. That when the pasuk in Nehemiah is describing, they would do the malacha from alos ha-shachar until tzeis ha-kochavim, that's day. From dawn till night is considered day. From night until dawn is considered night. Okay. So the v'ayom alacha. Now, okay, so far so good. So in this brisa now we have recorded another opinion in terms of when is it Zman Shema. In this brisa we have the first opinion quoted by Rabbi Meir is from the time that the Bnei Adam go and eat their bread on Erev Shabbos. Now, Kasak Adach Adani Bnei Adam Chashiruhu. Now the Gemara telegraphs its punch. And the Gemara tells us that right now we think that the shear of Ani and the shear of Bnei Adam is the same shear. Okay? That's the Hava Mina. That's what we're thinking right now. But that can't be. Because if that were true, so then it would come out that the Braisa that we just quoted, quoting a debate between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, there's no debate. Rav Meir says, when's your first chance to say Shema? Tzeitzak Chachamim. Chachamim say, when's the first time to say Shema? So in other words, there's no debate over here. It can't be. So Elosh Maminani Shira Luchud Vekon Shira Luchud. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? That an Ani is one shear, and a Kohen is another shear. So in other words, we have to split the two. So Ani refers to one point in the evening, and Kohen refers to another point in the evening. The Gemara says, lo, Ani Vekon Chachir. The Gemara says, no, that's not so. Really, the Ani and the Kohen are the same shear. The Ani Ubnei Adam Lav Chachiruhu. The mistake you made was the assumption going in. You thought Ani and Bnei Adam was the same shear. That's not accurate. Ani and Bnei Adam are not the same shear. Now the Gemara here makes no effort to tell us which one is earlier than which. But what we'll have to say, however, is that if we're going to stick to our guns and say that the shear of the Ani is the shear, same shear as the Kohen, so that means that's nightfall, and the shear of Bnei Adam is going to be earlier, sometime earlier in the evening. V'ani v'kohen chachiruhu, v'remenu, the Gemara says, okay, now I'm going to quote to you now another braisa. Okay, now, if you're already not confused regarding when this is the correct time to say Shema at night, even though we have our Mishnah, the Mishnah is very clear in terms of when the opening Zman is, states of Kochavim. But now we just quoted a braisa. And now we have the shear of Bnei Adam. We have the shear of Ani. We have the shear now of Tzeitzak Kochavim. So here we have a braisa that treats us to six opinions. Okay. So again, just stay with me as we go through this braisa. Now this braisa is going to talk about the opening Zman, when the window of opportunity opens up to say Shema at night. So opinion number one, Misha Shekidem Hayom, Misha Shekidei Shayom Ba'arve Shabbasas Devar Rabbi Eliezer. So we start off with opinion number one is that the time that you are Mekadesh Hayom, the point that you sanctified the day on Erev Shabbos. Again, that's early because already by Bein HaShmashos you have to take in Shabbos. So you're talking about well before night. Number two, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Misha Shekohanim Mitarim Lecho B'Chumasam. The time that the Kohanim are Mitahir, they sanctify themselves to eat Truma. Not when they're entitled to eat Truma, but when they sanctify themselves. As I described earlier, the Kohen, on the day that he becomes Tameh, he tovels in the mikvah towards the evening, and by evening he can eat Truma. So we're talking now about the time late in the day when he's toveling in the mikvah. That's opinion number two, Rabbi Yehoshua. Opinion number three, Rabbi Meir Omer Mishasha Kohanim Tovim Lechol B'Trumasam. Rabbi Meir says the time that they eat Truma at night. So Amalo Rabbi Yehuda Ba'alo Kohanim Mimba'o Yomim Tovim. Sorry. No, Rabbi Meir says, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. Rabbi Meir says, Mishasha Kohanim Tovim Lechol B'Trumasam. At the time that they tovel to eat the Truma. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I confused Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehoshua says they're matarin lechol b'truma. There are tarati truma. Sorry. Rabbi Yehoshua is the nightfall position, and Rabbi Meir is the tvila position, when they tovel at night. Okay. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda v'alo kohanim mimba'o yomim tovlim. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, what are you doing? Meaning they tovel not at night, they tovel during the day. Granted, it's late in the day, but they're toveling during the day. So how could you say that? That's the time to say Shema. Rabbi Chanina Amar Mishasha Ani Nichnas Lechol Pito B'Melech. Rabbi Chanina says it's the time that the Ani eats his bread at night. Rabbi Acha Omer. This is now the fifth opinion. I'm sorry, there are five opinions in this Brisa. Mishasha Robnei Adam Nichnasam La'asev. When most people go in order to recline, in order to eat. Okay. So this Brisa gives us five opinions in terms of when is the opening time to say Shema. For our purposes right now, we're only going to zoom in and focus in on a couple of points over here. Number one, Iyamart Ani V'Kohen Chachiurhu. Now, like we wanted to suggest earlier in this Amud, we wanted to say that Ani and Kohen are the same Shir. Okay? The Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina, Hainu Rabbi Yehoshua. So in this Braisa that we just quoted, opinion number four, Rabbi Chanina, who says, when is the time that you could start saying Shema? When the Ani goes in to eat his bread. And then, opinion number two, Rabbi Yehoshua says, when is the Ani, when can you say Shema at night? When the Kohen eats his Truma. Well, that's the same thing. If Ani and Kohen are the same thing, so Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Chanina are saying the same opinion. But you know how that's not how Brises work. If Brises are presenting them as each separate opinions, obviously they are representing different times in the evening. So that doesn't work. So the Gemara finally concedes, all right, even though we suggested it early, and even though we spent nearly an amud of Gemara defending it, but the Gemara says we have to abandon ship. It has to be that the point that the Kohanim eat Truma is a different point than when the Ani eats his bread. Now, a lot of difficulty with this Gemara, first of all, just keeping everything straight, which, as you saw, I struggled, in terms of keeping all the opinions straight. And the other thing that's also difficult is to know, like, on a map, if we were to give a timeline for the evening, like, where does everyone's position fall? We have a general idea of where everyone's position falls. Seisa Kochava means nighttime, meaning that's late. And when you're Mekadesh Shabbos, when you sanctify the Shabbos, that's earlier. So we have a general idea of when things fall out on the map, but what about when the Ani eats his bread? When is that? And the only thing we've established is it's not Seitz HaKochavim. So far, that's the only thing we know for sure. Okay, is it earlier than Seitz HaKochavim? Is it after Seitz HaKochavim? The Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, I think it's more logical to say that the Ani is later, right? Speaking to the idea we mentioned earlier, that really the Ani is scrapping. Meaning the Ani is basically trying to collect food, and because he's an Ani, he simply doesn't have it. And by the time he can get himself together to eat dinner, it's really late at night. So the Gemara says it's mistaber to say that. It's logical. Why? So because if you want to tell me that it's earlier, Rabbi Chanina, Hainu Rabbi Eliezer, then it comes out that Rabbi Chanina is staying the same position as Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says what? Mishashi Kiddusha Yom B'Avishabasos. Meaning, the Gemara is assuming that if we were to put it at an earlier point in time, the only option would be to put it at the time that we're Mekadesh Shabbos. Now, why the Gemara is forced to say that, I'm not sure. Meaning, it can't be anywhere else on the timeline. I don't fully understand why the Gemara says that if it's earlier, it's got to be the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, it's got to be later. I don't fully follow that logic, but that's okay. Lack of understanding on my part. Hainu Rabbi Eliezer, Allah Shmamina, Shmamina, Dani Mucha, Shmamina. Okay. One last point that we're going to finish up with today's daf, and that's the following. Amar. Amar le Rav Yehuda v'alo kohanim ibo'od yom heim tovlim. So we had opinions number in the last brisa that we just quoted, opinions number 2 and 3. Rabbi Yeshua says when they're allowed to eat truma at night, which we know it states a kochavim, and Rabbi Meir says the time they tovel in the mikvah. And Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, are you kidding me? I mean, the time they tovel in the mikvah, that's day. How can you tell me that the opening time for Shema is when they tovel in the mikvah? They're toveling during the day. So this is a question that Rabbi Yehuda asks Rabbi Meir. And it's a strong question. And what the Gemara wants to do now is give some sort of defense. So Amar le Rabbi Yehuda v'alo kohanim ibo'odim and tovelim shapik Amar le Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda is making an excellent point to Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir going to say in his defense? Rabbi Meir achi kamar le misvar dana avena shma shetitcha kamina. Now we just did this in Masechta Nida, so it's perfect. Meaning we still have some recollection of this point. When is Bein HaShmashos? When is that period where day ends? We go into like a little bit of a haze, a little bit of fog, what we call here in this country twilight, and then we go into night. Okay, when is this Bein HaShmashos period? So, subject to a debate. So, the Rabbi Yehuda says, first of all, it's a long interval. When I say long, I don't mean really long. It's somewhere in the ballpark of 9 minutes. Now, Rashi over here says, it's chatzi mil, it's a half a mil, it takes 18 minutes to walk a mil, so half of 18 is 9, it's 9 minutes. Elsewhere, Rashi says that it's two-thirds of a mil. Okay, but and Rabbi Akiva already made this point, that Rashi doesn't give us an exact, Rashi sometimes gives us different measurements. But in other words, it's an interval. And when does it begin, according to Rabbi Yehuda? It begins from the time that the sun sets, and when does it end? It ends 9 minutes later. Okay. That's the Bein HaShmashos period of Rabbi Yehuda. So number one, it's a longer interval. And number two, it's earlier in the evening. Okay, right after sunset. Good. So what Rabbi Meir says back to Rabbi Yehuda is as follows. It's funny. You're asking me a question about, the Kohanim are toveling so early. How in the world can you say Shema that early? Because you think, Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Yehuda, you think I'm going with your Bein HaShmashos. Right? Right, we do this all the time. In other words, we start off a question based on our perception, based on our concept. So Rav Meir says to Rav Yehuda, that's what you're doing to me. Ana, Bein HaShmashos to Rav Yossi Kamina. I don't work with your Bein HaShmashos. I work with Rav Yossi's Bein HaShmashos. To Amar Rav Yossi, Bein HaShmashos, Karefayin, Ze Nechnas, Vize Yose. So first of all, Rav Yossi says that the Bein HaShmashos is not a long interval. It's tiny. It's a fraction of a second. It's the blink of an eye. And the truth of the matter is that people can't even put their finger on when this is, when this time period is. Ze nechnas ze yotze. Ve'i efshar la'amod alav. And people just don't know when it is. But here's what we do know, is that Rabbi Yossi says, Bein HaShmashos, is later. It's after Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if you remember back in Nida, is it right after Rabbi Yehuda? Is it finished with Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShmashos? Does it come even at a later point in time after that? If you remember, we did this about a week ago on Masechta Nida. That's open for debate. But we do know this. It's later. So what Rabbi Meir is saying to Rabbi Yehuda is, what you call Bein HaShmashos, you know what I call that? I call that day. So when I'm saying with the time they tovel in the mikvah, you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, that's already Bein HaShmashos. And from my perspective, that's still day. That's why you're so bothered by my position. But I start off with a different point of when day actually begins. My day begins later than your day. Kasha de Rabbi Meir, de Rabbi Meir. Two loose ends that we're going to tie up, and we finish today's daf. We heard it for the first time, and we get to go over it again. So Kasha de Rabbi Meir, de Rabbi Meir. Shrei Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Meir. Okay, so first of all, we get mixed messages about what Rabbi Meir's position is. Meaning, if you remember earlier on the Amud, we said that Rabbi Meir says, when is the first time that you have to say Shema? From the time that Bnei Adam are Nechnasim Lechol Pitan Ba'arvei Shabbosos. And the other time is the time that the Kohanim eat their Truma. So, which one is it? The Gemara says, Rav Meir, there are various opinions expressed within the viewpoint of Rav Meir. Trei Tanai Aliba de Rav Meir. Okay. Kasha de Rabbi Eliezer de Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara says that we also have mixed messages about when Rabbi Eliezer allows a person to say the Shema at night. When is his window of opportunity? So one opinion we had regarding Rabbi Eliezer was in the Braisa. What did the Braisa say? Misha Shekidesh Hayom Barav Shabbosos. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And we had another position of Rabbi Eliezer that we expressed earlier. Where was that? Right, what was that? That's the Kohanim? Yeah. Okay, from the Mishas Kohanim. So again, the Gemara gives the same answer. Trei Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. That's one possibility. Ibai Sema Reisha Lav Rabbi Eliezer here. Or what we could suggest also is that the Reisha is not going like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. In other words, we'll just simply take that out from the Girsa. All right, where does that leave us right now? Slightly confused, correct? Meaning, I ask you now a simple question. When do we say Shema night? When's the Zman for Shema night? So now, after going through the first blot of Gemara in Masechta Brachos, the answer is, it's a machlokas. Good. But, good. When is the opening time? So we have at least five opinions, perhaps even more. When is the ending time? Again, subject to more debate as well in the Gemara. So let's just, for now, let's just conclude today with when is the opening time to say Shema? When's the Zman begin? So from our Mishnah, it says a Kochavim. Already Rashi and Tosfos, as I quoted earlier in the daf today, says that our minhag is to say Shema even earlier. Rashi acknowledges, but that's not the real Shema. We're just doing that because we want to go into davening Maariv after having finished Divrei Torah. So that's why we say Shema beforehand. But the real Shema comes in later. So from Rashi, it sounds like he also acknowledges that the right time to say Shema is after nightfall, after Tzitzit Kochavim. Rabbi Natam and the Ri disagree with Rashi. The Rush says the best time to say Shema is after nightfall. As per our Mishnah, as per Rashi as well, the best time to say Shema is after nightfall. Okay? Huh? After Tzitzit Kochavim. Okay, most shuls they don't. Most shuls they daven Maariv early. When I say early, I mean after sunset, but still, that's early because that's not Tzitzit Kochavim. Okay, I'm sure you can guess some of the suggestions. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you're going to daven Shema right after Shkia, right after sunset, so you should repeat the paragraphs of Shema later on in the evening after Tzitzit Kochavim. The Gabbai here is excellent in terms of announcing to repeat the Shema after Tzitzit Kochavim as well. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay, welcome to the beginning of Brachos and the beginning of Shas once again. And look forward to a good amount of learning together.